We're gonna do an old-fashioned sword drill for a while this morning. And I've entitled what I want to talk about this morning, Prayer, the Road to Victory. You know, no matter what endeavor you do in life, no matter what you strive to attain, there's a road, there's a plan, and there's a way to get there. And all of it usually comes through hard work, doesn't it? I can't even remember the young man's name, but I read a thing the other day about the running back that's for Cleveland Browns, that's the first white running back to gain 1,000 yards in over 25 years. And they asked him about it, and he said, I don't even see color on a football field. He said, I see a whole bunch of guys that's worked very, very hard to get here. That's all I see. He said, every one of them have worked harder than you can ever imagine just to be in this position. And no matter what we do, whether it's athletically or whether it's out on a job, whether it's personal things that we want to attain in our lives, you have to work. You know, prayer is the work. How many of you really like to pray? Sometimes. How many of you really, really like, you know, it's your biggest hobby. That's what you want to do is pray. It's the work. It's the nitty-gritty of the Word of God. It's to get down and get dirty and try to persevere and get through, isn't it? And, you know, it's amazing. And the reason I'm even talking about this is the Lord kind of checked me up recently because, you know, I'm like everybody else. I neglect that prayer time a lot. I don't do near enough of it. And he just kind of spoke to me one night, and he said, you would never consider getting up tomorrow with 101 fever and not going to work, would you? I went, no, I'm about going to work. He said, why don't you work for me? He got on me. And it's humiliating when God gets on you. Because you think of yourself as being kind of religious. Okay, I'm pretty cool, Lord. I've been serving you now 40 years. I'm okay. Guess what? Tomorrow's another day. And he intends on us to do his work. And his work has always started and always will start on our knees. Isn't it amazing? That the biggest things that's ever taken place for God started in the most humbling position. That's pretty unique. But get to thinking about it. How many guys here played any football? Where was the work? At practice, when the dust was a mile thick and it hurt. And it was down and dirty. And that's when they found out who wanted to play. Isn't that right? And at the end of the day, the coach was starting to single guys out. This guy's willing to persevere. This person's willing to persevere. You want to do great works for God? Be willing to persevere. Be willing to get down in the trenches and do that hard work. And the great thing about doing the hard work with God is that pretty soon the glory spout opens up and it pours out all over you. And then you're beside yourself with joy. And you're beside yourself with laughter. So we just want to look at a few things about prayer this morning. Prayer, the road to victory. How we get where we want to be with God. And how God gets us to where we get there. It's not fun being checked up by God. It's as I said, it's kind of humiliating when he says, why don't you work for me? You think, Lord, I thought I was. Not much lately. So I'm just being real honest today. I want to start in Psalm 5. David, as we all know, was a man of war. He was a guy, I've said this before, but every time I talk, I really love David in the Bible because he makes me think I got a chance. Because I'm telling you, he was a scoundrel, but he knew how to pray. He knew how to pray. He knew how, in spite of all of the things that he did wrong, how to get before God and say, I'm sorry, God. What can I do to make this right? How can I get beyond this point? And so, you know, he's just a lot of things in the Psalms. He said, in Psalm 5, he says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee do I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Don't sound like a man of war, does it? Yet if you and I was in his presence, we would be scared to open our mouths because we would know that if we said the wrong thing, we could lose our head in an instant. He was not an easy guy to be around, I promise you. Psalm 54. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's go to Psalm. Is that right? 54. Let's run over to Psalm 54. He says in the first verse, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is mine helper, and the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies and cut off in their truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. You know, God said once that David was a man after his own heart. And David was an adulterer, a murderer. He done atrocious things. But God loved him. And he loved him for this very thing. I will seek thy face. I know I'm not any good. Does anybody here really think you're real good? I know I'm not any good. I know me better than anybody else. I know my thoughts and the intents of my heart, and sometimes they disgust me. But I know my King. I don't think I'm saying anything that's news to anybody. I think everybody has these same thoughts from time to time. You know, a friend of mine said, what are you going to do tomorrow? I said, well, I'm going to go be the world's largest hypocrite. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I'm going to be teaching the gospel. And I said, I'm a wretch. I'm just not much good. But I have him that is the King of Kings. I have him that is the Lord of Lords. I have him that has paid the price with his own blood that I can stand before you righteous regardless of this thing that's between my ears and the things that it sometimes thinks and the things and the hatefulness and deceit that sometimes comes out of here. But I know the King of Kings. I've accepted that blood and I've accepted that sacrifice. And I've asked him to come in and take up. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you don't understand. God couldn't have anything to do with me because I'm just terrible. No. He says he died for all sin. He didn't just die for mine, and he didn't just die for yours, and he didn't just die for the preacher over at the other church. He didn't die, you know. What did he say at times when he was walking on this earth? He said, "I didn't come for those that were well. I came to heal those that were sick." You see, he's amazing in his ability to do that. If I was him, I wouldn't fool with me. Just being honest with you. If I was him, I wouldn't fool with me. I'd say, you know, he's never going to get there. His mind is a wasteland. But God is amazing in all the things that he does, and his mercy is everlasting. His grace covers everything that you could ever think or do. The important thing is that you acknowledge that you know him. And that you spend a little time talking to him. He wants you to talk to Him. And that's really what we're talking about this morning, more than anything else. You know, prayer is not, O Lordeth, Thy Godeth, and on and on and on. It's, you know, God, I really need some help here. I got problems that I need to deal with. I've always said that the prayers that get answered the most are the most honest prayers, and the most honest prayers don't start with thee and thou. The most honest prayers start exactly where you are. Help me, O God. That's really what David said over and over and over again. Psalm 55. Where's it at? Went by it. Give ear to my prayer in the first verse, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make noise. Have you made noise to God recently? Make noise. You know, sometimes the greasy wheel's the one that gets grease. You know? I remember hearing, there's a black man that was a pastor friend of mine one time, and he talked about a guy that had come to his church to preach, or he'd went to a guy's church to preach that I happen to know as well, and this guy was a deacon in the church, and he said, let me get up and introduce him. I know this man. And he says, you know, when Jesus was on the throne, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, they better be glad it wasn't me on that throne, on that cross. He said, I say, Father. He said, I say it real loud again, make sure he's listening good. Father, kill them. They know what they're doing. But you know what? It was probably pretty honest, you know. he probably is going to get some prayers answered because he's being real honest with God, you know. And of course, Willie Henderson, the guy that was getting ready to preach, he said, Mark, how are you supposed to preach behind that? The congregation laughed for an hour and a half. But prayer gets answered seeming from time to time, and we think, I wonder why he answered that. I didn't do a very good job of talking to him about it. And he really, more than anything else, is looking for somebody to be honest. For somebody that says that don't hide things from him, that just stay straightforward. You know, Lord, I got some problems and I need some help. Prayer can be so simple. It doesn't have to be hard. It's just talking. And then it's given a little time in return for him to speak back in it. It's not just saying a few words. It's being sure that we meditate on him and we allow him time to speak back. He wants to tell you how to overcome things. And he wants to tell you how to conquer those demons that seem to be in everybody's life trying to destroy us. And he says, I got all the tools. All you got to do is ask. And let me show you how to use them. Psalm 57. Psalm 57 and starting the first verse. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Praise the Lord. Ask him. Look at Psalm 61. In the first verse it says, Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower for mine enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covenant of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And let's turn over to Psalm 84:8. Told you I was going to give you a sword drill for a little while. It says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah, behold, our God is our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun, a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. David knew the art of prayer, didn't he? He made prayer an art form. I mean, it's beautiful the way things are written here. But you don't have to be a poet to talk to God. You don't have to be a singer to praise God. You don't have to be a piano player or musician to praise God. You have to have a heart that says, I'm going to praise thee. You know, I think five times in the Psalms, when we talk about praise, five times in the Psalms it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I've always said that the reason that David said that is because even though he was probably the best musician in all of Israel, that's how he got into the kingly quarters, was he could play the harp and he could sing. And it soothed the demon that vexed a guy named Solomon. So that's how he got there. But I think he understood that the best that I have to offer God, the very best I have to offer him, is nothing compared to what is played at his throne every day. We're all like children in our abilities to do. We may think that I can do this well or I can do that well. And what we have to offer compared to the praise and worship that goes before him 24/7 at the throne room is like little children playing on children's instruments. That's going to be one of the neatest things about heaven. We was, of course, at a funeral yesterday, and they talked about that his dad was always talking about he wanted to go to heaven. He was going to heaven. And the greatest thing about God, I can't imagine what the music's going to be like in heaven. I love music, and I can't imagine what those sounds are going to be like. And all of us are going to have perfect pitch. Won't that be cool? All of us are going to have perfect pitch. All of us are going to be able to sing harmony lines that we never dreamed we could sing. Huh? But in order to get there, we got to do the work. And the work literally is talking to him. Letting him know how much we appreciate him. Letting him know when we need help. Letting him, you know, prayer. It's always not just asking, is it? Praise is a form of prayer. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've got a 7-month-old grandson. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Never thought I'd want to call myself grandpa, but it don't bother me a bit right now. Every time I see that little face light up, I think, wow, this is so much better than being a dad. You know, I thought that everything that you look forward to was gone by the time you got to be a grandpa, and I thought, man, it ain't even close to being gone. I am looking so much forward to that little guy and different things we're going to do. Thank you, Lord, for that baby. Look at Psalm 141. You know, and I think the reason that there's so many of these that David had a part in writing, he did a lot of bad things. He had to go before God over and over and over and over again. And so I think of myself as being a wretch a lot, and I'm in the same boat with everybody else. We live from mountaintop to valley to mountaintop to valley to mountaintop to valley to mountaintop to valley. It happens over and over. And am I alone in this? Am I the only one that this happens to? That I'm on top of the world one day seeming like with God, and the next day I'm at rock bottom thinking, how do I ever get back up there to you, Lord? I'm tired of climbing this hill over and over again. And you know, his words usually are, well, just listen to me. Just spend some time talking to me and listen to me, and maybe those valleys will go away a little bit. You see, I don't think that Paul ever thought of himself as being in a valley. I don't think when he was being beaten, he thought of himself as being in a valley. Do you? Paul said, I gladly suffer for my king's sake. See, he didn't think of that as being a valley. He thought that it was his duty to suffer for Christ's sake. And he accepted that duty. Mike's back. And, of course, Mark are both still military men. There's times when their job isn't any fun. But when they took that oath, it's like I did when I was an enlisted man in the Navy. I said I would defend this country, that I would go wherever they said go, and I would do whatever they said do in the defense of this country. Sometimes we have to just make up our mind we're going to do it. And Paul was that way about his walk with God. Are we that way about our walk with God? Are we really in that mode where we says, you know what, I will forsake all and I'll follow you? It's a hard thing. It's a really hard thing. But will you? Will I? Lord, please help my unbelief. Help me get to the point where I'll just say, yes, sir. And again, I didn't particularly like the Navy, okay? But I told them I'd do it, so I did it. There may be times when God asks us to do a few things we don't like to do. Do we have the same outlook towards service as I did when I went in the military, as I do when I go to work every day? Or am I just living this life and doing these things that I do every day to make a paycheck and pay the bills for another month? God's been chastising me a bit lately. What did I say? Psalm 141 says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto thee, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and as the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work in iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him that reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, and let my prayer also be in their calamities. Psalm 143. He just says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no living man be justified. David kind of set the tone for us, didn't he? Can we of our own accord stand before God in righteousness? Not a man that's ever walked. Not one, except Jesus. We stand in righteousness before him because of the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus alone. You know, John said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Jesus did so much. And yet I forsake talking to him from time to time. And to me that has become scary. James, in the book of James, the 5th chapter, the 13th through the 18th verses. Let's just turn there. Take a second to get there so we can really look at this. If I can find it, sooner or later I'll get there. Fifth chapter of James, the 13th verse, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from error or of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It starts off with the effectual. Now, Lord, I hope I'm righteous, but am I effectual? You're saying that before you say righteous in this. Now, it kind of blows my mind. It looks like it would say a righteous man's prayer availeth much, okay? But it says the effectual fervent prayer. And to be effectual, what has to happen? Whatever you're praying for has to come to pass, don't it? Pretty simple. It's pretty simple. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. When you lay hands on the sick and you ask God to heal them, do they always get healed?
No.
No. Does it mean that your prayer wasn't effectual that day? I don't think so either. But he expects us to be effectual in our prayer life. And you can't be effectual in praying for others unless you're effectual in praying for yourself. Okay? And I think that's where most of us, we get to thinking we're okay, don't we? And so we neglect praying and asking God to keep working the will and to do of his good pleasure in here and make me the man of God that you want me to be. Give me the strength and the integrity to walk in righteousness, to not be ashamed, you know. No way should I ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how many of us occasionally are? I'll raise both hands. Occasionally I don't say what I should say when I should have said it. God, for all the things that I should have said that I didn't say, please forgive me. For all the things that I said amiss, please forgive me. Because it works both ways. We get to pointing our self-righteous fingers at other people sometime, and we get to thinking, boy, that's a wretch. And you got to always remember that when you do that, there's three of them pointing right back at you, you know? I mean, it's a triple shot at you and only one at him. God expects us to spend time before him. God expects us to acknowledge him in all his ways in our life. God expects us to say thank you when he's done things for us. Is he any different than we are about that?
No.
If we do something for one another, do we expect that other person to say it, to acknowledge the fact, hey, I appreciate what you did?
I do.
So it's not a big deal. Jesus, thanks. I appreciate it. And that's part of our prayer life, as well as that part of the prayer life that says, God, convict me of my sins and help me overcome who I am. Because who I am, I don't really like a lot of the time. In 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, there's a section of Scripture that is a prayer that is kind of amazing. So let's go look at it a second. 1 Kings 8. In the first 21 verses of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, they have finished the temple. They have brought the Ark of the Covenant in, and it talks about placing the Ark of the Covenant on the altar, pulling the stays out, and all the mechanics of bringing what represented the presence of God in Israel and setting it in its place that Solomon had built, had spent all of this time building. And in the midst of that, it gets to a point where it talks about the sacrifices and the praise that's taking place. And let's look at the 10th and the 11th verse. It says, "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of God, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." Now they had just, at this point, literally, all they had done was built a temple, brought the ark in, set it in its place, and praised God. And it got so thick in there that they couldn't stand up and they couldn't minister by reason of the cloud, I think is what it says in Chronicles, actually. And then we go to about the 22nd verse. And there's a reoccurring theme in this prayer that Solomon prays. And it says, "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants and walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, that thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail any a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, and they walk before me in as thou hast walked before me. Now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet thou respect unto prayer of thy servant and to the supplication, O Lord my God. Hearken to the cry of the prayer and the servant that prayeth before thee this day, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, and thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou unto the supplication of thy servant of the people of Israel when thou shalt pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive." And he goes on and he talks about if men trespass, if men forsake him, if men chase after other gods, that, you know, it's okay for you to push them aside. But when they get pushed aside and get pushed down, when they bend their knee, when they speak to you again, when they cry out to you again, forgive them and bring them back. And it says that over and over and over again in that thing. And we serve Jesus, who died the perfect sacrifice. And we've got to remember that when we stumble, as we are bound to do, that it's nothing more than, "I'm sorry, God, help me." And your position and authority with God is right back to where it was. I don't care how long ago it's been since the last time you spoke to him. I don't care if you did it 10 times yesterday or if you did something wrong 30 years ago and you hadn't spoke to God since. If you get honest with God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I really messed up. And I know it's been 30 years. Or I know it was 10 times yesterday. Will you please forgive me?" He is faithful and just. He will forgive you. He will open his arms of love. We sang it in that one song. And he will gather you back into him, and he will hold you, and he will comfort you, and he will strengthen you. And if you make the same mistake tomorrow, he'll do it again tomorrow. His grace is sufficient unto the day of his return. His mercy is everlasting. What a God. What a God. Even though you fail to walk with me over and over and over again, he's saying, if you'll just come back, my blood is sufficient unto the day. I will still take you in, and I will still take care of you, and I will still love you, and I will still stand you up before the Father righteous and say, he's mine. Hold thy wrath, O God. This is my servant. What a mighty God. What a perfect salvation. And again, I too often forget that I need to spend some time on my knees before God. And I want to go to John. Well, before we go to John, let's look at a few scripture in the New Testament. We've wandered around mainly in the Old Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." He lets us know that he thinks we ought to pray daily, doesn't he? Pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 said we should be patient. Well, let's just go there. Let's go to Romans 12:12. I won't say that right if I don't. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. Okay. Colossians 4:2 also says, continue in prayer. 1 Peter 3:7. Let's go to 1 Peter. What did I say? 1 Peter 3:7. And he's talking about the relationship between husbands and wives. But it says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." That your prayers. So our daily life enters into this deal too, doesn't it? Honor your wife. Wives, love your husbands. So that your prayers not be hindered. You know, that's why a lot of, you know, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Husbands and wives need to attend to that more than probably we do, and probably more than anything else that we do in our lives. Because there's going to be times where there's two minds in one household trying to make things work, and both of you can't be the boss all the time, can you? But if you go to bed mad, your prayers might be hindered. That relationship should be like Christ loves the church. Isn't that what it says? So if it should be as Christ loves the church, then you need to be sure it's straight before you close those eyes at night, because you don't want your prayer stopped up. You want that lifeline to heaven open all the time. And being angry and deceitful with one another can stop that stuff up. But it's easy to get back straight if we just let ourselves be honest with each other. Something I wish I'd have learned a whole lot of years earlier. It's a lot harder to learn. It's a lot harder to do, it seems like, when you've only been married 4 or 5 years than it is when you've been married 36. It's funny, because marriage is a thing that is a very tough thing to do and do right, isn't it? And It's like I look at Terry all the time now, and I say, God, I'm glad I got you. And she says to me the other day, she says, what are you thinking about when you say that? And I think, I could have blowed this so bad for so long. You're the best friend I've ever had in the world. You know? And that is an indictment on me when I was younger, when we stayed angry at each other a lot. But it is so, I'm so happy that we endured the hardships of the first few years to where we get to the point where she really is the best friend I've got in the world. And the last thing I want to do is go to bed with her angry with me. I want to be sure that communication line is still open, because she's what I got left in this world that means something to me. First Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now let's turn to John 17 and let's look at the prayer that Jesus prayed. And we'll just start in the first verse. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me in thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all the things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I have come out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. And I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I spake in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Pray neither I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on them through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me be in them, and I in them. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This was the words of a righteous man. If you think you can't do it, then that prayer was no good. Okay? I remember John Griffin saying one time that he was lost as a goose and going to church every Sunday and just as lost as he could be. And he said, finally a preacher looked at him one day from a pulpit, and the preacher said, if there's one lie in that book, the whole thing's a lie. And none of it's any good. And John said, I got to believe it all. And John's a mighty man of God right now. But he said, I'd never heard anybody put it that way. If you can't do the things that God's asked you to do, then that prayer is a lie. And it don't work. That was an effectual, fervent prayer. It was prayed by the King of Kings. It was prayed by the Lord of Lords. And he has said unto you and me, you can do it. That's basically what that prayer says. His love is in us because we've believed on his name. His love will always be in us because we've believed on his name. Whatever God asks you to do, you are already equipped to do. He's not going to ask you to do something you're not equipped to do. Do you know that? He's a good God. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was in the military, we had a unit that had, you had four men on a boat. We were going to Vietnam. We were going to run waterways in Vietnam. We found out who could and who couldn't while we were still in Coronado, California. And we didn't give that job to guys that we knew couldn't do it. We made sure that guy had a different job, that he didn't ever have to get on that boat. There were other jobs in that unit to be done. God has a plan for everybody's life in this room. He has a direction that he wants you to go, and he has been equipping you from the day you were born to do that job. If he asks you to do it, you're ready. He's not going to send you to the wolves if you're not ready to do it. He's a good God. He knows exactly what he wants to do, and he knows exactly what the plan is he has for you. Praise the Lord. Seek his face. Spend some time in prayer. If you're only spending a few minutes in prayer today, spend an extra minute. If you're spending 5 minutes, spend 10 minutes. If you're spending 10 minutes, spend 20 minutes. Spend more time on your knees before him. He wants to talk to you far more than you want to talk to him. His desire is to be in every decision in your life. He wants to help you with everything that comes your way. Praise the Lord. I want to read one more thing to you before I close. And I kept saying, well, I'll tell you what, before we do that, I want to go to Matthew 6. Let's run one more piece of scripture. Because he gave us a form of prayer, and we might as well look at that for a second while we're here. As the disciples asked him, how do we pray? And starting in the 5th verse, it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love praying standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard in their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving. Hallowed be thy name. Then we tell God, regardless of whatever happened, the same thing Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. This don't look like this is going to be a fun day. This looks like a bad, bad day. But not my will, but thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In my life, in your life, you say. Make that a personal part of that prayer. Give us this day then. He's gone all that way before he ever asked for anything, didn't he? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then finally he says, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And then recognize again who he is. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever and ever. I want to just read something to you in closing. I was wondering how to close this and how to put a cap on this. The song, How Great Thou Art. What words. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest, and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from loft mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. When I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can't take it in that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then shall I bow in humble adoration and there the proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Why wouldn't we want to talk to him? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you again for today. Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that if I've said anything that confuses, if I've said anything amiss, strike it from our memory. Lord, I just rededicate myself this morning to spending more time talking to you and listening to you. And I just thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you for every soul in this room, the friends and the camaraderie that's in this place. And Lord, I just ask that you convict us all to want to know you more, to want to know you more and more and more and more, and that you give us our marching orders and tell us what to do. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Do you want to...